Blog Talk Radio.
Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Get ready to be the best you can be. Stay tuned for the Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. Welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from absolutely breathtaking Southern California after a week of solid rain. Clean, refreshed, and 80 degrees in February. Yep, I love living in paradise. Tonight is Thursday, and we are going to do something a bit different. As you all know, Law of Attraction Radio Network is going full steam ahead, and I wanted to take this opportunity to personally introduce you to a really terrific show called I Am in the New Era with Dr. Harry Morgan Moses. It is a show really worth downloading. Last week, he interviewed internationally renowned spiritual leader and best-selling author Terry Cold Whitaker, and I thought it was so outstanding that I decided I wanted to air this for all of you through Law of Attraction Talk Radio. This is especially directed to those who download through iTunes or VCast or whatever means you use to download the show. I also wanted to remind you that if you'd like to hear other tremendous shows on the network, all you need to do is just go to lawofattracttalkradio.com. Let me repeat that. It's lawofattracttalkradio.com. And now, I am so pleased to present Dr. Harry Morgan Moses of the I Am of the New Era show. It will be on for the rest of the hour. So enjoy.
Unite for compassion, for connection, for forgiveness. Unite for inspiration, education, peace and justice. Unite.
Welcome to I Am in the New Era with Harry Morgan Moses on Law of Attraction Radio, a spectacular hour designed to empower your life. We live in a special moment in history. What are the thoughts, ideas, and ways of being that we must discover in order to create the lives we have imagined? Join our host, Harry Morgan Moses, author, speaker, and consciousness teacher, as we discover and explore.
Well, hello, and welcome to the I Am in a New Era radio show. Joining us today, Harry Cole Whitaker, one of the great New Thought teachers of all time. She brings with her a tremendous background. She has been one of the souls who helped create the miracles that are unfolding in the awakening of our world at this time. She is an extraordinary global inspirational and motivational teacher and counselor. She's been the best-selling author of the book, What You Think of Me is None of My Business, and also the book, Dare to Be Great. Her newest book that she's working on now is currently entitled Live Your Bliss. I think it's that Live Your Bliss. Terry, are you
back
with us now?
That's it. Yeah, it's The Confessions of a Serious Pleasure Seeker.
What a great thrill for us, because Terry is one of the pioneers in really getting the awareness of personal self and its gift from God into our lives and into our experience. So, Terry, what a thrill to have you with us today. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, Harry, you know I love you. It's always fun to be with you. You're one of the great teachers out there, so I always feel just such a privilege to know you as well.
Well, thank you. We want to remind our guests, if you would like to call in and ask Terry Cole Whitaker a question at any time during our show today, the number is 646-929-1763, 646-929-1763, and you could call in and ask Dr. Terry any questions as our dialogue unfolds here during the hour. Also, want to let you know that Terry Cole Whitaker will be with us live in Burbank on Sunday, February 22nd. She's doing a workshop called the Ultimate Prosperity Program, and it's all about being able to prosper regardless of world conditions. It's about receiving the prosperity formula that always works, gain a three-step process. What an extraordinary thing. Right here in Burbank on February 22nd from 12:30 to 3, if you are in Southern California. But anyway, that being the case, and you're coming out here live, we get a chance to be with you live now. And the thing that maybe is most interesting, Terry, is talk to us a little about this, about being able to prosper regardless of world conditions.
Well, what it is, prosperity is a state of mind. It's a state of being that is like a sense of trust and faith. Because even in the government and such, you know, when people have faith in the government and what's happening, then the money flows and there's prosperity for all. But when the faith drops, then what happens, just like it has in the economy, then what happens is then people have difficulty. And so for me, prosperity is a state of mind. It's a sense of I'll always be taken care of, I always have what I need, and it's understanding really the laws of creativity that really have nothing at all to do with people's opinions or governments. And when we have a prosperity consciousness, we'll always prosper, even if all the banks of the world close their doors.
And that's, I think this is where people are having the big trouble, because you and I had the opportunity to spend some time together this week, and while we were walking and talking, we shared a little bit, and you shared your point of view a little bit about the myth.
Right.
Let's talk about that myth a little bit. What is this myth that's scaring people so much?
Well, what it is this myth that the outer world is responsible for our inner world, when it's really the inner world that creates the outer. And it's like people think that they're unhappy because of the conditions of their life, their finances, or what's going on in the world. But that's not true. What's going on in the world is the result of people's emotions and their thoughts, their feelings, their desires. So if a person's unhappy, what they're going to do is make decisions from that unhappiness. If people are in fear, they make decisions from fear. And because we're creative beings, you know, we have mystic powers. We're made in the image and likeness of God. So we have those same qualities in minute quantity. And that means that when we're unhappy, we make decisions that are going to bring back more unhappiness for us. And the condition of the world, when you see people hurting each other, it's because they're hurting. And so we have this myth of poverty. And I call it a poverty consciousness. It's that sense of scarcity. And it's that scarcity. So these people are using fear, really, to control people to do what they want. And there's really nothing to fear. And what I would suggest to people, don't get involved in that talk and that conversation about how bad it is, because then it will be bad for you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I want to go back, and I want to miss mm-hmm. that line that you just said, that really, it doesn't even really matter who's creating the myth. But the myth is about this idea of scarcity, which,
right.
as you just said, puts the individual in scarcity.
Right.
I mean, they are then living their lives inside an environment of fear.
Exactly.
When you listen to that world speak that's going on.
Right. And so, then their decisions that are made from fear, and fear is really, if you want to have a devil or a demon, it's our fears. Because we make those real, and then we worship them, and we honor them, and we serve them. And we do what our fears dictate to us when we are spiritual beings. We don't really have anything to do with this world. We're visitors here. But like a visitor anywhere, if you're going to go to China and you're living in the United States, you better know a little bit of something about the culture and how it operates. So what happens is people are living here in these bodies, having no idea of how the world even functions. So they're tossed about like a little rowboat, you know, being tossed on the rocks of the ocean when they just need to know how to sail.
Mm-hmm. And so what are the things that, you know, given that people have invested in this
right.
scarcity and are now they're sort of put themselves in scarcity,
right.
what are some of the methodologies that souls can use to get themselves out of scarcity?
Well, what they got to do is they got to find out who they are. And that's the challenge, because we're listening to people who don't know. So people might have a good idea of medicine at some level, or they may know something about world finances, how they're operating, and they may know how to fix your television set and all this sort of thing. But what we have to know is who we are. And a lot of times people just don't know who they are. And then once you got to find out who you are as a spiritual being, and that bliss is our nature. And I lived in India for about 5 years and loved to study with the masters. And there's a Sanskrit saying that describes the soul that we are. We're souls. And it is that we're Satchitananda. Satchitananda, that means we're made of eternity, consciousness, and bliss. So bliss is our nature. Bliss isn't something we get when the economy's good. Bliss isn't something we get when our mate loves us and brings us flowers, you know. And unhappiness is not something that other people do to us, and neither is poverty. It is something that we're doing to ourselves when we don't know who we are. So that's why people need teachers like you, Harry. And that they read books on spirituality, and they begin to find out who they really are. And then next, they got to find out, how does life work?
And so let's talk a little bit about this. So what you're just saying, what we're reminding many of our listeners, is that the new era is really not a new era. It's just a new understanding coming into this time on planet Earth.
Well, it's an old understanding being revived.
Yeah, there we go.
Because, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and talk more about that.
Well, I was just writing on this in my book on Live Your Bliss, and it's that sense that, all right, if you take a piece of cake that's really delicious, but then you put a slimy, rotten frosting on the top, now the cake is spoiled and it tastes bad. Not that the cake, the original cake, is bad, but you're eating that cake along with the rotten, spoiled frosting. And then what we do is we come along and we say, well, this cake tastes bad. That means I'm not good enough. Life isn't good enough. There's something wrong with me. I'm evil. I'm a sinner. I'm bad. I should be ashamed. I should be punished and tortured for what a rotten, no good bum I am. But this has nothing to do with the original cake. This has to do with the frosting made of concepts and lies and teachings that really have nothing to do with us at all. Now, in order to counteract that feeling bad, then we put another layer on top of that, a sugar coating. Affirmations, positive thinking, you're good enough. Because every time you think, I'm good enough, your little mind comes up with, no, you're not, you slug. I know what you're really like.
And it's really talking about the frosting.
It's really, because the person doesn't know that really they are good and they never were bad. But what they've done is every culture, every religion, every society, even when Jesus came to give his liberating teaching to us in the West, what happened was, the problem was, when people went to take on that new teaching, instead of taking it purely, they just added it along with all the other stuff that they were already believing. So what we're always doing is adding cultural conditioning, religious conditioning, morals and values that we're, you know, it's just like if we look at how many laws we had when this country started and how many books and libraries of rules and laws and all of this are going on, making life very complicated when it's actually very simple. And what the simple process is to get the knowledge, the pure knowledge of who we are, as that original cake that still tastes good. So then what we do is, to get to that original cake, you just dump those other two frostings. Mm-hmm. You don't need to put sweetness on what you already are. Mm-hmm. You just got to be the sweetness that you are. And so that's the trouble, is that people are trying to operate over this concept that there's something wrong with them and that they're not good enough and there's not enough. It's that whole thing, there's never enough. So therefore, that creates miserliness, it creates greed, it creates cheating. It's like when you get these people in the banking system who are the heads of it ultimately, not the little banks here and there, but all of them. It's all about money for them. And what it is it's in their mind, it's never enough. They're not happy that they have $1 billion in the bank or $5 million. That's not enough. Why? Because they don't feel like they're enough. They can't get no satisfaction because they don't know where the satisfaction comes from.
Right. And now, so let's just take that thought a little further. So what we say then is the bankers coming out of their not enoughness.
Right.
Now, and we're not picking on we're just looking at this trend of humanity.
Exactly.
Created. They then end up buying up the airwaves and the networks, and then they end up buying up the advertising agencies, and they end up buying all of the things that go to feed this.
And all the drug companies and all the seeds and all the water.
Right, right.
And everything that actually, see, I was thinking it'd be really great. We should have a class action suit of the whole world to take back what belongs to God.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's not theirs.
Let's talk that more in a second. If you'd like to call in and talk to Terry Pope Whitaker, he's on the line right now. You can dial in live at 646-929-1763. You are listening to I Am in the New Era radio show on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And we're on air live now with Dr. Terry Cole Whitaker. So let's go back to what you were just saying. So you said we ought to have a school that does what now?
No, a class action suit that it says, you know, what lawyer would you get? But to say that these people are robbing the people of what God is giving to them. Now, the only reason this happens is because most people live in fear. And if they don't know who they are, then they're always afraid because they misidentify themselves as a body. And this is the real key, that when you're driving a car, you know you're not the car, you're the driver. But some people think they're the car. If somebody scratches their car or they have an accident, then they start to cry. Why would you cry over a thing? You know, unless you think that thing has something to do with your happiness, or somebody's going to yell and scream at you because you bumped a thing. It's just a thing. So here we have these wonderful body temples, vehicles of the living God, temples of the living God, but we're not the body because we're made of pure spirit. Now, as pure spirit, we are transcendental to this world, and we're superior to this world. We're co-creators of our lives and everything that goes in it. So what we have to do is wake up to who we are. And we have so much power that the soul is more powerful than atomic energy, hydrogen energy, nuclear energy, and cannot be destroyed because we're not of this world. This world, there is a spirit behind this world that is the creator of it and the maintainer of it. And that's what we're part of. So when we recognize this, all there is abundance and prosperity and opulence. So then that means we have to align ourselves with the truth of who we are and act from that. And in a moment, we take back our lives.
Right. So let me see if I heard this correctly. What you said is that we need to operate from who we are. But
mm-hmm.
In order to do that, we have to pull away from the feelings of who we're not. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. We have to stop buying the lie. That's the myth, that we are actually inferior to this world, and we are, and that our happiness or unhappiness, our prosperity, comes from outer conditions. Outer conditions are caused by our inner thoughts and concepts and desires and beliefs, followed by our actions.
Sure.
And so if we want something different in the outer world, then obviously we have to create it from our inner world.
Right. So you have to change your inner, what your inner speaking is doing.
Your understanding, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
your
let's talk a little bit mm-hmm. a little bit, because you talked about the frosting that we put on this cake that is essentially a cake.
Already good.
Yeah. It's already good. It's already delicious. It's already
right.
Blissful. And
right.
Then we put this frosting on it of misbeliefs. And then we put another frosting on it, which is what you call the affirmations or the false
Right.
We're not really changing.
Trying to make ourselves good when we're already good. If you try and make yourself good over the real belief that you're not good enough, it'll never be enough, because the concept that we're believing is truth is never enough. We have to go back and take first cause. And first cause is that if we're part of God, God is good. So therefore, what are we? Good. There's nothing wrong with us. So this whole something's wrong with people. If you watch television, all this, there's people, critics, you know, it's like these people who are critics for movies. These are basically frustrated actors who can't get a job. So they're good. What are they doing? They make a living criticizing actors who have a job. You know, so it becomes, if you think that, and you've got these talk shows, well, I don't care if it's The View or something else, they're criticizing people, finding fault. This is like petty. This is not the work of divine beings. See, when we talk about the new era, we really want the old era to return. And that means that to recognize who we really are, and then we're not living in a new era or an old era. We are living in the kingdom of God. And it's everywhere.
Right. Now. Right. Well, but what has separated us from what you say, this rebirthing of the original era, is another
right.
way of saying it, right? What is separating is all of our belief that we're the car.
Yeah, exactly. And then if their car is dented, people say, what's the matter with your car? So what do you have people look at you? What's the matter with you? Your body's ugly. What's the matter with you? You're fat. What's the matter with you? You don't have any money. What's the matter with you? You're homeless. What's the matter with you? You've got all this money. What's the matter? It's always what's the matter. So you get a little kid, and people are saying, well, what's the matter? What's the matter? Instead of thinking, they're just thinking about the body, we start to think something's wrong with me. And then we feel bad. What's wrong? Nobody wants to feel bad and that something's wrong with them. So what we're always doing, we're going to fix up these people. And it's like you get these people in the world think something's wrong with the world, so they're going to fix it. So they're putting patches on the top all the time. And what it is these patches on that we're trying to put on the top of this, the concept there's something wrong, that even God created the world wrong, or the economy. There's a natural economy. Always has been. Supply and demand. That's easy.
And so this is being this natural flow of supply and demand is being busted up by the presence of this myth.
Right, which is an unnatural spending future resources now. And then it causes waste. I know for myself, whenever I think there's something, there's a lot of something, I'll waste. Because I think, well, I got more. But it's not about waste. It's called being a steward. That's why all these spiritual teachings, a lot of people have thrown them out, because they think it's about a judgmental God who hates us, who's sitting around with a little book watching each one of our lives to decide if we're good or we're bad, like Santa Claus, you see,
yeah.
And you're going to get presents or not. But
so
this
Santa Claus, or as we said before, a bolt thrower.
This isn't God. This came from Zoroaster. And the Zoroaster religion brought in the concept of an angry, vengeful God that infiltrated into the teachings of Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And it's not true. It was influenced this way. And so then all through this, when you've got, say, priests who are molesting children, what it is they were in a situation where their natural physical impulses were wrong. Some people are celibate, and that is really their nature, but most people aren't. Or at least until they get old and they don't care anymore. But it's like that, and that works good too. But it's that sense of then you have to hide your impulses. You have to then put the sweet frosting on top of yourself that you feel so bad and ashamed of yourself. But that your actions are always going to be perverted then. Because
right.
all the perversion, yeah, comes from not accepting your natural state and who you are and natural impulses as to be okay.
So most people have trained themselves out by means of listening to so much of what we have called the world speak, you know, so much broadcast of fear and doubt and limitation, that we really begin to believe. And then we're also, what's also being broadcast is that the mountain is falling and it hasn't finished falling and more of the mountain is going to fall.
Right. And it, yes, it's getting worse.
Right.
This is a setup. Don't believe it.
Yeah.
Because if they can see, here's this. This is what I've been teaching. If you've seen the movie The Matrix, if you haven't, watch it. Because it's so excellent, the job that they did. But we have to take it to another level. Because they're trying to show that the real world that isn't being seen is a garbage dump. That's not true. They're still operating with the sweetness over the rottenness.
Right.
The real world is beautiful. This world with all of our mountains and flowers is a reflection. And our even scientists say it's a projection from the antimatter world into this world. So everything's done with mirrors. And our mind is even a mirror. But when it's clouded with all of this lies and poverty and junk and concepts and standards and rules and regulations and all of this as to who we are, then there's no clear vision of who, of the beauty that we are and the beauty that life is and the beauty that God is. All we see is rottenness. And then we're trying to become good and make it good over the rottenness. You can't do that. You got to go to the original first cause.
Right.
That's like, as a practitioner, we don't buy into the sickness. We stay focused on the truth.
On the wholeness of the soul.
Yes.
Individual. If you'd like to call in and talk to Terry Cole Whitaker on the I Am in the New Era radio show, dial 646-929-1763. If you'd like to call in, it's 646-929-1763. During our hour from 12 to 1 on Saturday, we are live with Terry Cole Whitaker on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. We're glad to have you with us. So, Terry, I want to go back to this idea of, I wanted to remind a story of, and I think it's related, and you tell me your insights. The story is what we have seen across time, literally across the last 2,000 years or so, is we've seen the emergence, or even longer than that, we've seen the emergence of these great way showers that have come along. And have, so we're talking about the Buddha or Jesus the Christ or
you have Krishna,
or
Lord Shiva, Radha, Lord Ram.
These souls
you've got Vedic culture that goes way beyond 2,000 years ago.
Right, exactly. So we've had individuals calling this idea forward. And
right.
Even as late as the later 1960s and early 1970s, the great teacher out of Chicago, Johnny Coleman, who constructed at that time, by those dollars, a multi-million dollar facility. And in the process of her building, people would come, just similar to what's happening in the world, they would come forward and say, oh, the problem is so big. How are we going to raise this much more money and build that building too and do this? And how are we going to? And Johnny Coleman's line was, well, you seeing it as a big problem, but you just don't know how big my God is.
Yeah, it's really good.
Right? So so in a lot of this, what we have done is create a world problem, and even if it's in our own personal lives, whether it's our work or our relationship or our health, we create a problem that we give a size and scope to that in truth has nothing to do with the original cake.
No, it doesn't. And you've got fear feeders out there that are fear mongers, because there's two kinds of people, spiritually awake and spiritually asleep. But everybody's equal. We're all the same, and yet we're all different because it's our individual, expression of who we are that makes the difference. And that comes with knowledge, sacred knowledge. So we've got our people that are turning away from faith in God because it's like communism is the way it was. It was, don't believe in God, believe in the government. Make us God, and we'll solve all your problems. I'm even hearing some leaders, so-called leaders in America, saying the government will solve all your problems. This is communism. Now, if we talk about spiritual communism, that's another level, which means everything belongs to God. So we don't even call it that, but it's spiritual truth. But here when you've got people saying, have faith in the economy, what is it faith about? It's like it's all fear is about what's going to happen to me in the future. That's what fear is. And it's the fear that I won't be happy in the future. I won't be comfortable in the future. I won't have what I need. But God is our protector and maintainer. I'll tell you this one story. There was this woman. She was praying to God to pay her rent and to pay her bills and to pay her car payment and all of this. But she was her boyfriend was living with her, but she had really faith in her boyfriend. He's going to make me happy. He's going to pay the rent. He's going to do all this. And so what happens is he leaves. Now she has no money. She's thrown out on the street. She doesn't have a car. She has no place to live. And then she says to God, God, I had faith in you. And God said, well, I didn't do anything because you really had faith in your boyfriend and you have free will. Mm-hmm. And so what we're trying choosing. To, yeah, we're choosing to have faith in the boyfriend, the government, or the bankers, or the
like
neighbor.
Just like Connie Coleman, in the small God that a million is a big deal, or the big God to which no amount of millions is a big deal.
No, yeah, exactly. I think about my teacher in India, and he's in his 90s, and what he's doing, you know, I mean, he's just going forward all the time. And I haven't been over there in about 4 or 5 years, and there's always problems and such because that's just the material. And there's a lot of cheating going on there. And, you know, it's like it's just kind of amazing. But, you know, he's transcendental to it. He's building more buildings. He takes care of cows. He's doing his teaching. He's writing a book. He doesn't give that any mind. It's there. It's like a mosquito. But do you give the mosquito your life? Or you just swat it every once in a while or put on a little mosquito repellent and you go forward. We need some fear repellent.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, the only fear repellent is to have faith. I mean, it's to know who
yes.
you are. It's, again, know yourself
faith,
as the king.
Yeah, we all have faith. But what do you have faith in? And faith, I've been contemplating that term to say, well, how do you describe it? And when I say it is the fuel of manifestation. Whatever you give your faith to is going to grow.
We heard a great acronym the other day. It says, full acceptance in the heart, faith.
Oh, that's very good. Because, but people have faith, complete faith, in when they're driving down the street, the road's going to be there. So they go 90 miles an hour. We have complete faith that so-and-so is going to save us. So we trust that. But what happens is that's misplaced faith because there can be a hole in the road that we don't even know about. But like if we have faith in God, it was interesting. I was thinking about something when I was writing yesterday. Oh, and I was thinking, oh, yeah, I need some information on that. And then this morning I was in the car and I opened up the glove compartment. And I thought, I'm going to clean out this glove compartment. I cleaned it out, and lo and behold, there's some writing I had done before with exactly that information on it. I haven't cleaned out that drawer, that glove compartment, for a year.
Mm-hmm.
What made me clean it out now is because there is one mind, one divine mind.
And it responded to your intention.
Exactly. My
That's
request.
Okay. One of the sayings that we certainly support is mm-hmm. that where your attention goes, your energy flows.
Right.
And I'll tell you a story that maybe that mm-hmm. you didn't know. Did you ever know Patricia Turnbull, who was one of Ernest Holmes' original practitioners?
I remember her name.
Yeah, she was around the Beverly Hills Center for years.
Oh,
years.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah. And one day we were in Beverly Hills going to have a Sunday celebration, and it was very, very hot outside. And in the Beverly Hills Center in those days, the air conditioning worked well in the sanctuary but not in the foyer section of the building. And so it was very, very hot out there in the foyer as we were greeting people and saying hello and one thing and the next. And Patricia walked in, and I took her by the hand. I gave her a kiss on the cheek, and I said, wow, it's unbelievably hot, isn't it? And she said to me these great words. She said, I'm aware of the heat. I just choose not to dwell in it.
That's it. That's like when people, I do that all the time, because if you think that it's hot, you're hot. If you think that it's cold. I just read in the internet something that they have when this Obama's inauguration was, and they were talking about the Secret Service men, people, and how, you know, they have to wear their clothes, whatever, and they're in all these places, and sometimes it's really, really hot, but they train them when it's really hot to think that they're cold. Mm-hmm. And when it's really cold, they've been trained to think it's hot. And I thought, isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
they know where the mind is, that's where we are.
Right. So they're training people to have techniques to help them to do their physical jobs.
Exactly.
Isn't that highly relevant in this day with this myth being circulated about as if the cosmos has run out of supplies?
Oh, it hasn't at all. And I knew years ago we're moving into an ice age. Now they're starting to talk about it. But it's like most people don't do their own research. And what I've found about the scientific community so often is that there'll be a concept or a theory that someone has, and then they build a whole university around that theory. So anybody that comes in with a theory or maybe even proof that isn't right is not accepted, because everybody's job depends upon this other theory. So therefore, everything gets complicated. And it's kind of an interesting thing that, like doing my own research even on how the body functions and how the body works, it's very simple. And life operates simply. It's like in a sense, as above, so below. Everything operates by the same principle, so everything operates in the same way. It's not complicated. But if people don't know the way that it works,
hello?
Yes.
If people don't know the way that it works, what happens?
What happens is everything looks complicated. And so then they're involved in the complication of it, and everything gets more complicated. They're in more debt. Their marriages and their relationships are all goofy. They go to job every day planning their escape, but they can't afford it when they look in their checkbook, so they're stuck. And it's like we're supposed to be singing and dancing here.
Yeah, so that's a good clue. How do I need to adjust my spiritual practices? Am I singing and dancing? We are live with Terry Cole Whitaker on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. You're listening to the I Am in the New Era radio show. If you'd like to call in and talk to Dr. Terry Cole Whitaker live, you can dial 646-929-1763. 646-929-1763, and we'll get you on the air live with Dr. Terry Cole Whitaker. Speaking of Dr. Terry Cole Whitaker, and we're certainly loving all this conversation, Dr. Terry Cole Whitaker is receiving another, and I don't know how many you've received, but I know it's a stack.
This will be my fourth one. It'll be really nice.
Honorary doctorates, exactly. She's receiving from the United Centers for Spiritual Living an honorary doctorate at their convention called Spiritual Leadership Through Spiritual Living, which is February 16th through the 19th at the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Anaheim. So
and you're going to be presenting this to me.
Yeah, I'm so honored to be part of that, because Terry Cole Whitaker is really the soul who, because of her conviction, because of her high level of consciousness, really brought the whole idea of the God in us and as us and through us as something to really work with to change your whole life. And she did that by her extraordinary ministry in San Diego, which became a world-famous and worldwide television show. And she's been literally the spiritual teacher of the stars for the last 25 or 30 years. But we're not that old, so we know.
No, because we're eternally young. We're not our body. So never act the age of your physical body, or let your physical body make you miserable. And this is what happens. You've got a lot of people who are getting senior in the body. They're not even out there living because they're so ashamed. And they think they're ugly and they're old and they're useless. And so that they live lives of, like Emerson said, quiet desperation. And the sense is, you know, when I tell people about, you know, a lot of people are in debt, it's not, you know, the real problem is with the people you owe the money to.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because
say that again so everybody hears that.
Well, it's like, you know, we're all worried about the debt that people have, but also, see, first of all, we want to learn. We want to live within our means. But we think that if I live within my means financially, that's all that I can get. No, that's not true. Because your boss is not the source of your income. That is the boss is the source of that particular salary that comes, that river of salary. But God is the source of your income. So a lot of times we think, you know, I want to have a good time, so I'm going to, you know, charge all this up, have a good time, and then I've got all this debt to pay later. If you know how to use the laws of attraction properly, you know, you'll win prizes, someone will invite you as a gift, something will happen in a wonderful way that will bring you what you want, doesn't cost you anything.
But doesn't one have to develop the word I would use is consciousness, but doesn't one have to develop a consciousness of knowing the supply is from God as opposed to from
somebody else? Yeah, you have to. That's why you go to your church. That's why they go to your church, Harry, or they read my books, or they read your books, or they whatever. You have to find out this information just like you and I did. Because I know when I first started studying this, you know, it was like, I was going, well, you know, I want to have a good life. What do I do? And it was all terrifying. And it just, and we have to use the power of repetition because the world talk is so strong that it's beating people down to a pulp. And oh, this is the thing, that soul, we're soul. We're like batteries. And I talked about that movie, The Matrix. We're batteries in a sense because we're soul energy. Soul energy is the force of the universe. It is the spirit behind it. It is the activating force of innate matter, inert matter. And so even these bodies are corpses, but we're inhabiting them with God. When the body's no longer useful to us because something better has been set up for us or something more given our consciousness, right? We leave, but that we're not dead. We never were, but we're souls. And this soul power is the creative power of life. So when people can harness your soul power by your agreement, by your faith in what they have to say, they have your power. They have your battery energy that fuels their nightmares or their dreams. And the thing is, you've got to take back your own power and use it as you want to be using it. And that takes work on your part to find out who you are and through the power of repetition, learn to understand it and then act from that. Now you're free.
Right. So let's look at this. For example, if I thought I was a victim to the world or a victim to the mortgage industry or
right.
a victim to the stock market and continue to go around in that belief system,
right.
I find myself feeling worse and worse and worse.
Oh, right.
And then what usually
hopeless,
happens,
depressed,
yes.
my future's ruined.
Right. And the more you dwell on that thought, the more of that you create.
Exactly. Because the outer world has to correspond to your inner world of consciousness. Has to. It doesn't have any other choice because it's inert matter. The universe is a gigantic cause and effect machine. It is not the giver of things and the original. It's like, in a sense, we are because we're part of God. So we're divine beings. We're children of God. We have those same powers, but we have free will. So God does not interfere. So that's why you got such a mess is because here are people don't know the power that they have is like a two-year-old with hand grenades.
Misusing the power, yeah.
Exactly.
That's what it's doing, right. Right.
Exactly.
We're on the air with Dr. Terry Cole Whitaker. If you're in the Southern California area, Dr. Terry will be live in Burbank at the Spirit Work Center on Sunday, February 22nd. She'll be personing the service at 10 a.m., and then she'll be doing her wonderful Ultimate Prosperity program on Sunday afternoon. Everybody is invited. The public is welcome. It's Sunday, February 22nd. From 12:30 to 3:30 p.m., and you can go to spiritworkcenter.com for more information about Terry's appearance.
It's on Pass Avenue, right off the 134.
There we go. Very good. And let's tell everybody where they can go who's not in Southern California, who's around, could be anywhere around the world, where they can go to find your information. What's your website?
Terry? Oh, it's www. You have to have those wubs at the beginning. Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, Cole, C-O-L-E, Whitaker with two T's, whittaker.com, and then you can, when you go on there, put in your email address, and then you get some free gifts from me, and you get also a newsletter, and I send you an announcement every once in a while.
Great. TerryColeWhitaker.com, and you can find more ways to find Terry, because she is a globetrotter, so if you're not in Southern California this month, you can certainly find Terry on her website and where she will be appearing live.
Then they can also get my books. There's What You Think of Me is None of My Business. And that is, you can get it from Amazon or any bookstore. What You Think of Me is None of My Business. And that is such a fabulous book. I mean, I feel so happy that I got to kind of be part of that whole thing, because it's helping so many people. And then I have Dare to Be Great, which I include in there everything that it works to bring out the greatness that is within you.
Well,
and you can get those any bookstore.
There we go. So TerryColeWhitaker.com, and you can find all kinds of more information. Terry is live with us on the Law of Attraction Radio Network right now. If you'd like to call in, you can call 646-929-1763. And if you're a chatter, you like to do it online on the Internet, you can just go to I Am the New Era Radio Show, and you'll get on the blog page there, and you can talk with us live. We've got several people making nice comments about how much they love you, they wish you were with you, and how right you are. I see these comments happening right in front of my eyes. Well, we're glad the listeners are enjoying.
And I love all of you too. You know, we got to stick together here and not buy into that world talk, that fear talk that's going, because it's not the truth. Never has been the truth. And then we have to find out how things work. And when we do that, then we work it. And then we have what we need. And then, see, there is the new world is evolving. And what is it? There's always, the outer is always changing, because that's the nature of material energy. And you have a future. You can't die. So you're always going to be somewhere. And what that's going to be is up to you and God. That means where you want to go, what you want to do. Focus on that. And you have great talent and ability. You have divine genius within you. You don't need to be. See, what's happening in the world and in the school systems and such is people are dumbed down. They're made to conform. They're repressed. They're suppressed. They're this beautiful piece of cake that have been told that they're rotten, sinful, no good, deserving of punishment, and that they're evil and nasty, and now they're trying to just survive, so they got to say some positive thinking, I'm okay. Well, obviously you're okay. The rest of that stuff was just a bunch of lies. And once we realize that, first of all, then we start to get angry at those people. Don't be angry. They don't know any better. Because they don't have knowledge. If you get knowledge, all things are possible to you all the time. And miracles happen in your life.
And this is, I think this is something that is valuable for our audience, because that very often, particularly in these last few years, as we've seen movies like The Secret and The Moses Code and the big grand revelation of the Law of Attraction, which is all spiritual principle and has been around for a long time. But when people first learn, they think that it's a something for nothing proposition.
Oh yeah.
That you can just, as you say, just put this funky icing on top of the funky icing, and that will be better.
Yeah.
Where the reality is you got to take all of the icing off and just go to the fundamental good of the cake itself.
Exactly. And now live from there. Don't live from trying to be good. Don't live from trying to be prosperous. You are prosperous. But they say, well, wait a minute. Then they look at their bank account. No, I'm not. You don't understand. No, don't identify with that. Because if you do, you go down with that. Because
well,
that's not who you are.
And isn't that also true with the people you're hanging around with, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if the people around you don't know, then they're going to talk from their unknowingness instead
right.
of from their knowingness.
And then you're going to take that on yourself because you want them to like you. You want to be part of the group.
Right.
So then they'll say, well, it's nice for you to say you don't have problems. I was at the bank the other day, and the lady and, you know, sweet lady, and the clerk or whatever she's called, and she's saying, oh, how are you faring under all these things? I said, I'm doing great. I'm doing fabulous. It's like, I'm not in that other world. You know,
right.
they got enough people there. It's not my thing.
Yeah. Well, and it's also the wrong thing. It's promoting
it's the wrong thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's the wrong use of who we are.
Yep.
And so, see, what happens is when people think they're bad and rotten, they're trying to become good, so that means they want to be better than others. So I'll have a better house, I'll have a better car, I'll have a better looking body. All the exterior stuff is trying to become happy. We are the happiness. Bliss is our nature. You take your happiness with you because it is you.
Right. And this is so people who have friends, and I see this happens a lot, people who have friends and they start to get a new idea. They might have listened to a show like this. They might have gone to a class. They might have seen a book. They might have seen a movie these days. That some of these newer films are spiritually based. And then they want to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you don't have a lot of background, you'll sound like a frosting salesman.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yes, you do. Because then people say, yeah, but you don't. I have all these problems. But they don't understand where the problems came from. So people are trying to put this thing of attraction, I'll just think positive, and I'll hold my thought, and it will make it happen. But they don't understand there's five influences for every manifestation.
Talk about that a little bit.
All right. First one is your desire. So you've got to really look at what you're desiring. Now, say, for instance, if your action is motivated by the desire to get even with somebody, then you're going to wonder why it didn't work out, because your motivation was misdirected. It was towards someone else's pain and hurt instead of in a positive way. So you got to really look, what are my real desires of my heart? And you can't desire to get rid of something because you'll keep it. And you can't, you know, so it's like you got to focus on what's really in your heart. Second is our karma. Now, a lot of people say, well, there's no karma. No, this is called cause and effect. It is a natural law of material energy. It is not in the spiritual realm. It does not exist because there's no material energy there. Cause and effect operates in the material zone. And we have to understand, when we're in this material zone, you don't get to change the rules. And you don't even get to say, well, I don't like the way God did it. Because you're not God. You're part of God. You don't make the rules. You got to find out how it works. So this karma then, what you've been giving out and what you've been doing naturally comes back, because like one of the Hermetic axioms is everything kind of works like a pendulum. It's for every up, there's a down. If you go that side, you're going to go the other. So for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. It is the law here. So you got to, this is the law, you're not making the laws, you're a visitor. So you got to find out what they are so you don't wreck your life. Now the third thing is God's will. God's will is always for your greatest joy and bliss and love and opulence and happiness, because God is kind, sweet, and loving. But there are laws in this universe. So we think, well, if I burn my hand, that's God's fault. No, it's your fault for sticking your hand in the fire. So you got to understand fire burns, the material thing. Now, it actually doesn't. I'll talk about that another day. But then the fourth thing is other people. Now, when you're working with other people, they've got all of their stuff going on also. Plus, you know, the neighbor's dog can be barking and keeping you awake all night. Now, it's how you act from this. Now, what it is most of us are just reactors. We're reacting to the economics. We're reacting to what people say. We're reacting to what blah, 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 instead of acting from who we really are. So now you've got other people, and there you've got, you know, if he could see what's going on in the world, you know. So then the fifth thing is nature. So Mother Nature operates according to certain things. And so it's how you then react. When I was living in Malibu a few years ago, 1993 or two or something like that, they had this big fire. Well, there was a long story, I'm going to make it really short, that in my neighborhood there were 22 houses, and when I came back there's only three. One of mine was my house was still there, but the others were all burned to the ground. Now, I had a neighbor, a friend, down a couple of streets. Her home was completely burned to the ground, and she told me 2 weeks before, she stood outside of her house, and she prayed to God, God, please take the burden of this house away from me. So we never know why. See, there's all of these influences. And so what she did, she got great insurance money, and she went and bought a beautiful home and place in Ojai, California, all expenses paid. I mean, it was like, it's how we respond to it. How we act, not even respond, how we act. So in one sense, it's all up to us and God, but we have to understand how all of these different energies are working, or right. else they'll take you down.
Right, and against so what you're saying is there is something to know. I mean, in other words,
yes.
in order to know yourself as the cake, you got to know what the cake is about.
Exactly.
And then you've got to find what aligns with you.
This is called your studies with your teachers.
Yes, exactly. So one of the things that, you know, this radio show is an internet radio show, which is once it's available, it can be downloaded anywhere. To anyone who's using that technology.
Well, that's cool.
So these shows are a way, and this wonderful gift that you've been sharing in this past hour, this is one of the ways, showing up to authentic spiritual teachers and learning.
So I could put, like, this link to all my people on my email list, and they can hear this talk.
Correct, but let them know there's a two-minute glitch up at the front of the show there.
Well, we don't care, because, you know, we don't care about glitches.
That's right. What's
it doesn't matter to us.
Yeah, no, and this is my point, is that in the new era, the thing is, and I'll go back to your metaphor because it's such a good metaphor, that we need to know ourselves as this fundamentally fantastic cake.
Exactly.
And get out of the frosting game altogether. The
yes,
false frosting,
exactly.
The taste bad, and the other false frosting, which is just trying to cover up a bad taste.
Yeah. Go back, and you have to find out who you are. But see, all that religious training that's not been true. See, God is good, and there's nothing wrong with religion per se. I love it. But it is that we have to look at what is really true. And when we find that God is really sweet, then so are we. There's nothing wrong with us.
So really,
we're part of
finding
God.
Finding that sweetness, cultivating that relationship
right.
with that sweetness, getting
and acting
that
from
sweetness.
That sweetness, and acting from our true nature. That's behaving from that, not from trying to get or hurt or put down or make ourselves better, but from the truth of who we are.
Wow. Well, we've been talking for this last hour with the world spiritual teacher Terry Cole Whitaker. Some powerful information available in our hour together. And what we know, Terry, it is certainly our honor to have you with us on the show. We hope we can have you back again, because what we know is that this message needs to be heard around the world. So tell a friend to download the lesson. Go to the lawofattractionradio.com and download the I Am in the New Era show. Make it available to you and your friends. Send a friend a message. Let's get the word out that you are the chocolate cake of all time.
Yeah.
So we celebrate your chocolate. It's not, I don't know what flavor it is. Your excellent cake, this, Terry, we celebrate.
Yeah, whatever your flavor
whatever,
is.
Whatever your favorite flavor is. And we sure are glad to have you with us on this show. And we are out of time. So tune in with us 2 weeks from today. Next week at the same hour, Dee Wallace will be here at the Create Your Life radio show. And we'll be back the following Saturday, 12 to 1 every 2 weeks for I Am in the New Era. Again, Terry Cole Whitaker, thank you so much
for
being with
us. Oh, thank you, Harry. You're the best.
We're ending out now. Here we go. Thanks for being with us. I just tune in, tell a friend. We'll see you next time on I Am the New Era radio show. This is Harry Morgan Moses. It has been my joy. Have a great one. Bye for now.
For inspiration, education, peace and justice, unite.
You've been listening to I Am in the New Era with Harry Morgan Moses. Join us every 2 weeks, Saturday at noon, right here on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. For more information, go to www.spiritworkscenter.com. And for inspirational music, go to www.danielnamod.com.
For inspiration, education, peace, and justice.